The title again of this message today is Resurrection from Failure. Another negative, but we need to turn this into a positive, and the Lord does so very well. Because we see, we're going to read the passage that Jesus is trying to resurrect Peter from his failure. And he has a process. And we can learn from that process how God resurrects us from failure, too. John 21, verses 15 through 19, I'll read. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you to where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me. Follow me." The skeptic Voltaire, a philosopher, said this. It's actually a wise saying. "Men are in general so tricky, so envious, so cruel, that when we find one who is only weak, we are happy. If we find just a weak person, well, we're happy because everybody else is so bad." Well, God is happy too. He seeks out and he finds the weak so that he can heal them or rescue them from and raise them up from their weaknesses, maybe their failures. He does this in our lives, and he did it in Peter's life, as we saw in this passage, his process of doing that. The angel at the tomb had told the women in Mark chapter 16, "But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Now, why did he single out Peter? Well, maybe Peter had a special need to be singled out because he had sworn allegiance to Christ and then he had failed Christ. He had denied him three times. I think sometimes we also have failures in our life where we have been trying to do something for the Lord. And maybe we've promised, as Peter did. Now, I want to read the passage where Peter actually promised not to fail him. Listen to this, Matthew chapter 26. Then Jesus told them, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me. For it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same thing. Frederick Farrar, an English scholar in the 1800s, actually, he said this, "There is only one real failure in life that is possible, and that is not to be true to the best one knows." Not to be true to the best one knows. I mean, there are other failures along the way, you say, but I was true to what I knew. Well, that's true for us today, as it was for Peter in that time. We do truly fail if we fail to stay true to our Lord. Because we know Him. He is good. We should be faithful, but we fail. However, Jesus persists in calling us from our failures to greater service. He calls us out of our failures into greater service. The risen Christ raised up a failed Peter, and He wants to resurrect us from our failures. But there's an essential requirement for this resurrection. That's what we're going to talk about next. An essential requirement for this resurrection from failure. To raise us up from failure, Jesus requires us to have an intensely personal relationship with Him. Intensely personal. He says, "Do you truly love me? Do you truly love me?" He wants our love to surpass all other loves, to be supreme, not just love, but a supreme love. And there are three possible meanings to what He said about this supreme love. He said, "Do you love me more than these?" These what? Well, there's three things that you can look at in this passage. What were the three things? What were these? More than these. Do you love me more than these? Well, the first one is, do you love me more than these, this boat, this fishing practice that you're doing, catching all these fish? You did it all your life. You love to do this kind of work. Do you love me more than these things? You know, things and activities can steal our hearts. They can be familiar things. They can be productive and profitable things. They can be enjoyable. They can be good things, but they can overshadow our love for Christ. And the Lord does not want us to have anything in our life that will overshadow our love for Him. Do you love me more than these? And then also it could mean this. Do you love me more than these other relationships, these other people that are here in the boat with you? Do you love me more than these, your companions, your co-workers, your friends, your relatives? Well, good relationships, wonderful relationships that God has created, good relationships remain good. I mean, they stay good if they do not interfere with our allegiance to Christ. Because Jesus said in Matthew 10, "Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." All other relationships are subservient to that one relationship we have with Jesus. Well, that could have been his two meanings, but I think it might have been another one, the third one. Do you love me more than these? More than these others love me? Do you love me more than these others love me? That probably really hurt Peter. That's where he really felt. Oh my goodness. That brought back to his memory. He had said he would love Jesus more than these loved him. Listen to what he said. This probably brought back to his mind, his boast. He said, "Even if all fall away, even if they fall away, I will not fall away from you." Now, Peter's failure began by comparing his loyalty to the predicted failure of others. He was comparing his loyalty to the predicted failure of others. Now, this was both pride, but it was also a false standard. And we don't see this sometimes, but it is a very tricky thing that we can fall into, and it's very bad. Here's what it is. Avoiding poor behavior. Avoiding poor behavior is a low standard for measuring our own success. Let me repeat that. Just think about this for a minute. Avoiding poor behavior is a low standard for measuring our own success. And why is that? It's because it may lead us to live just a little bit above poor. I mean, they're poor. Well, I can be better than that. A little bit above poor. Some of you might have watched this film. Rosemary and I very enjoyed watching it. It was The Christmas Cottage by Thomas Kincaid. He actually directed it, showed it, told the story of his youth, and it was very, very good. It's a very, very good movie. But in it, he resented It shows how he resented his father's drunken behavior, how it ruined their family and so on. Well, he said he set his mind to doing better than that. And he did. He achieved great renown. He became a great artist. But he was just a little bit better because he also went that same route, destroying his family, his relationship, and dying because of alcoholism. Terrible. He had a low standard. You know, Peter, he said he'd be better than the others. I'll be better than them. And he was. He did. He was better than them. Why, he courageously went into those den of soldiers and in their courtyard. And that took a lot of courage. But there, he denied his Lord 3 times. Not much better, is it, than running away. He denied his Lord 3 times. Why does Jesus highlight our failures? Why does he point out our failures to us? This is what he was doing when he was asking Peter those questions. He was, and especially if that's what he meant on that last question, do you love me more than these love me? A little bit more than these love me? Why does Jesus highlight our failures? Well, it's because he must first fully show us, he must let us acknowledge our failures before he can resurrect us from those failures. The question he asked Peter 3 times, do you love me, is the same question he asked to us when we fail him. Do you love me? Do you truly love me? Do you love me more than all these things, all these relationships? How these other people, how they love me, do you love me more than that? Well, Jesus knows we stumble. We all stumble in the Christian life. Has anybody in here never stumbled in the Christian life? And you got, I don't see any hands. Well, I don't see any hands because there shouldn't be any hands. We all stumble on our spiritual journey. We fail in our spiritual resolutions. I have this resolution and then at the end of the year, did I keep that resolution? I failed. But what Jesus does, he persists in calling us from our failures into greater service. Into greater service. If we love him, we're going to have to face our failures. And we're going to have to face our inability to keep ourselves allegiant, loyal, faithful. We have to depend upon him. So when we do fail, we have to get up and try again. How? By loving Jesus. By making sure we love him with all of our hearts. And as we do, Jesus gives us a resurrection into sacrificial service. Now, this is the second part of this. Christ, in his 3 questions to Peter, they were followed by 3 calls. And these 3 calls affirmed Peter's renewed commitment. He was coming back to Christ and saying, I love you, Lord. And Jesus was calling him, and those calls were like affirmations. They were affirmations of this renewed commitment that he was making. 3 affirmations. The first one, an affirmation of trust. Feed my lambs. Now, you know, John Mark, who wrote the Gospel of Mark, he started out failing in a mission trip. And his uncle, Barnabas, gave him another chance. And evidently he became so successful that Paul, who had not wanted to take him again on a missionary journey, he was calling for Mark to come help him because he had become faithful after his fall. It's interesting because I myself, when I left missionary work, Youth with a Mission up in Canada, I had no plans to do missionary work anymore, any kind of ministry. It would be just being part of the body of Christ, functioning in my gift maybe, but not the ministry. Well, God called me back. to ministry. And when he did, he gave me confirmations. He doubly confirmed my return. As soon as I did this, this church started. And it wasn't my idea. If you were here during the January when we had a celebration, it was Phil Stevenson's vision that this church be planted here, called Eschaton Village Community Church. Now it's changed to this Village Community Church. But it was right as I was going back in the ministry, and I stepped right into being the song leader and preaching once in a while. But within a short time, I was having to be the senior pastor. I was having to run it. And it was like God was confirming to me that you're supposed to be doing this. I'm calling you back to greater service. There was also another affirmation. An affirmation of delegated leadership. This word, take care, is actually a Greek word that means to shepherd. To take care, to shepherd, to lead a flock to pasture, and to watch over. The old Latin derivative of that is the word we get minister, curate. I don't know if you've heard that word, curate. A curate is actually a caregiver. A curate is one who cares for, who shepherds. And when the shepherd delegated authority for someone else, an under-shepherd, to watch over his flock, he was putting great trust in that delegate. And that's what he was doing with Peter. He was renewing his trust in Peter. Feed my sheep. And then there's another thing that this call did. It was an affirmation of expected loyalty. I'm expecting loyalty from you, Peter. I'm expecting you to succeed here, Peter. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. That was a call that was an expected loyalty. Jesus persisted calling Peter three times to faithful service because he wanted to heal him from his failure of persisting to deny him three times. And he repeated this call three times in a strengthening way. He wanted to strengthen Peter where he had been weak. The songs that I picked today for this was about how we are weak, you know, on our journey, and we need the Lord to come alongside of us. Just a closer walk with you, Lord, because we are weak in our journey. Well, this weakness, this strengthening of the weakness that God was giving was also something that he was calling him to service. And it was self-denying service. This repetition prophetically affirmed that Peter's future would be one of unfailing persistence in his ministry until he died. And it truly was. In verses 18 and 19, Jesus predicted Peter's future death. And this was, in a sense, a final confirmation that that Peter would be unfailingly loyal from now on. Tradition says that Peter's death in Rome was crucified upside down. And that was at his own request, because he said, I don't want to die. I don't feel worthy to die the way my Lord died. So he asked that he be crucified upside down. That's what tradition says. But Jesus' description here in this passage, verse 18, his description was a picture of both Peter's call and our call to sacrifice, to sacrificial service, self-denying service. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Serving God means you must wear the suit that fits. You must wear the suit that fits. You know, I don't wear scrubs anymore. I don't have to, but I had to change into scrubs every time I went to work. You know, Peter, when he was out fishing, he was in his birthday suit. There's a thing in John that just talks about this, just shortly before this incident when he was talking with Peter. Peter was out there fishing naked, right out there in the boat. He enjoyed that, but when he came back to be with Jesus, he grabbed his cloak. Why? Because he's going to be walking around dressed people for service. He's going to be catching men. He's not going to be catching fish no more. And serving God also means to go where He sends. Even it might be uncomfortable. Many of the missionaries died early on when they went to Africa from diseases and so on. And the call on their life was so strong, they laid their lives down. Many missionaries have died because they went to where not so pleasant a place, but those souls needed Jesus, and they went there to serve and feed His flock. Ultimately, resurrection from failure is a call to walk this way of the cross. In 19 it says, Jesus said to this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then He said, follow me. Follow me means the way of the cross. Not just for the lost sinner, the fallen sinner, but for the failed saint. It's a cross. It's the way of the cross. Follow me, Jesus says. There's a verse in an old hymn, and we don't sing this hymn. It's called, Christ Receive the Sinful Man. I actually don't know the tune of it. But I saw this song, and many of these old songs had great verses. But here's what it said. Sinners, Jesus will receive. Sound this word of grace to all. Who the heavenly pathway leave, all who linger, all who fall. All who fall, all who fail, all whose weakness leads them into a time of not being necessarily obedient to the Lord, not following His directions, failing. I think we've all been through that. Well, it's marvelous how Jesus, He saw the whole human race fallen into sin. So much so did He love the world that He became one of us. God, the Son, became one of us to win us back from the failure, from the fallen world that we were in and a fallen condition that we were in. Well, that's marvelous. But just as marvelous is how Jesus persists in calling us Christians from our failures into greater service. His call to us is, follow me. Follow me in self-denying, self-effacing, self-sacrificing service. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for loving us so much that You are persistent in going after us when we fail, when we are weak, when we have stumbled and fallen to the wayside. You come along and say, do You love me? And when we respond, because we have to respond, we do love You, Lord, You say, feed my sheep. Serve me. Follow me. Thank You, Lord, for this kind of love that You've loved us with. And Lord, may we love You back, and may we be faithful, like Peter, the rest of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.